I'm doing all right. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Hi there.
Yes, indeed. All right. Let's give people a couple minutes to show up.
Absolutely. What's been the big news this week? What has been going on in the interfan world? We're in like just the chain world in general.
What's been going on in the chained world?
In the on-chain world, yeah.
In the on-chain world, I think people are just excited about bullishness, to be honest. Like, the timeline seems to be euphoric. Everyone's looking at, you know, Santa Rally is being thrown around a lot. So I think people are less so concerned about, what's going on from the build side, and more so excited about, like, their bags just pumping after, like, a 2.5 year wait, which, you know, understandable. But it's hopefully, you know, we can kind of get into why the future is also bullish during today's spaces.
Yeah, definitely. I guess people are bullish, which is a fun thing to be bullish about.
Always got to be bullish about bullishness. Hey man, listen, yeah. If the vibes are good, I'm just, if the vibes are good and people are winning, I'm happy that they're winning. You know, I'm not necessarily worried about too much of like the bag stuff. Like that's, you know, it's a nice little bonus, and it's a product of being in this industry that's super nascent and everything. But, we're working on a project and we're trying to build something. So splitting the focus starts, it really does detract from the quality of what we can put out.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think it really opens the gate for some fun tweets like 42s earlier, like 420 for 20. I think that's like probably the best price of Bitcoin I've seen.
Yeah, so. Yeah. The whole $42,069 is always just such a nice moment. But, you know, it is what it is. Listen, again, like seeing people calling for zero when the whole FTX debacle happened, and then seeing it in kind of, it feels like relatively short order, 1 year after that, where we are where we are, and, you know, spot ETF approvals on everyone's mind and all of that stuff. It's excellent. It's excellent to kind of see. It's nice to experience it. No bad feelings here for me. I'm super excited for it.
Yeah, definitely not. And Twitter is not the same festival of bad vibes anymore. It's just like, it's just positive news everywhere, which is kind of comforting. There's a little bit more noise than, you know, than normal, which is to be expected. But yeah, it's good. It's good to have people being happy because, you know, the happiness is infectious.
Bro, 100%. Like, the worst part of the bear markets are always when crypto natives are at each other's throats. Like when it's just Jamie Dimon coming through and being like, you know, crypto needs to go to zero, or Elizabeth Warren saying that it's only for criminals. Like, I'm like, hey, you know what? I expect that out of you guys. I'm here for all of you guys FUDing whatever it is that you want to FUD. Because as soon as the spot ETF gets approved, like it's at like basically a 99% certainty at this point. As soon as that happens, like, everyone's going to flip their tune because all of a sudden they're going to be beneficiaries of that money. And like, suddenly we'll just hear all of these, you know, political theater puppets just kind of going around and, you know, talking about how amazing it is that it stops fraud because of, you know, the fully auditable ledgers and all of, like, we all know what it's going to be. It's always theater from them.
It's the same story, like every market almost. at least in the last few years. Like, there was a lot more, I feel like, technical excitement. Like the technical excitement we see now is a lot more like granular and like way deeper in the stack, which means that we are like legitimately progressing as a space. But it's like, it feels like the bullishness now is like not really on the tech. People are like, I swear the vibes are like bearish on the tech, but like bullish on just the prices and the coins and like, you know, actually seeing some results from all the tech that has been built. But people are like, you know, talking a little bit of crap about all the L2s and like, you know, all of these scaling solutions, and people are being annoyed at ease. Other than that, absolutely fantastic. And people are just dying to see the next wave of consumer apps, to be honest. Like, I think that's been one of the most talked about subjects in the past 4 months, maybe, is just like, you know, when are people actually going to be using this tech for the tech and not just for the tokens?
My dude, you're like sitting here just completely front running like four of the topics that I want to go into on these spaces.
Okay. we'll back up, you know, pedal backwards.
Sure. It's good table setting, definitely. But yeah, you know what? We're getting a couple people through right now, which is good. So let's kind of just hop into it a little bit. Today, I kind of want to get through, for the last month, for the listeners, we've kind of had like a lot of excellent guests come through, and we talked a lot about like, you know, the potential of the interchain and where we kind of see it going. We talked a little bit about the philosophy of the space and the philosophy of the industry and a lot of what our own personal beliefs are. And today I kind of want to get into it. We don't have any special guests for the bulk of it. I do want to open it up for the last 15 minutes in case anyone feels like, you know, having any questions or anything that we kind of talk about here. But we're going to kind of go through like a developer update. We're going to go through like a little bit of our like future plans in terms of, again, what Adair was kind of talking about with the whole consumer apps and what people can expect to be using, how that user experience can hopefully change and what Abstract is doing to bring those changes and realize them instead of just, you know, kind of talking. Talk is cheap. Abstract's here to build. So let's kind of dive into that first piece. Can you give us a quick developer update over what's been going on in the last 6 to 8 weeks, I guess?
I absolutely could, but I do believe that our CTO, Howard, will be appearing here in maybe 5 or 10 minutes. So I should probably leave that up to him.
He is the ultimate in showing up fashionably late. I love it.
Oh yes, certainly. Life takes it like, you know, it's a good thing, right? You know, we're all casual on the interchain. So I suppose I could give a little bit of a front-end developer update, as our CTO will give more of a back-end developer experience for CosmWasm developers. But on the front end, we are releasing updated SDKs for developing full-stack CosmWasm applications. So Abstract, we aim to make the entire app development experience as smooth as possible. We took inspiration from a lot of the Web 2 projects and frameworks that are out there. Like, if anyone's familiar with Ruby on Rails, they provide a well-structured approach to building applications that allows for faster iterations and, you know, better maintainability and scalability. And we've taken the same approach. So in these past few weeks, we've been working really hard on the actual front-end libraries and the SDKs for interacting with on-chain contracts. So Abstract has an API for interacting with all Abstract accounts and Abstract applications across any chain. It's a completely chain-agnostic API and allows for retrieving data and mutating data on-chain. So we've created some better abstractions for developers there. We are also working on actual clients, auto-generated application clients that will allow you as a developer to have the modules in your applications have their their SDKs automatically code-gen together, all in the same SDK. And so what this means is that you go in and you're building an app. Let's say it's Equilibrium's Balancer, which is a cross-chain auto-balancing ETF. And so this ETF, it has actually quite a few moving parts to it. One is the base ETF module. And this allows for creating a basket of assets and allowing people to purchase and to purchase shares in this basket of assets and receive an allocation of them. And then the actual auto-balancing component is another module. It's called the Balancer module. And this Balancer module allows you to set weights for the assets in this basket. So say that I'm, making a basket of Cosmos assets. I want 30% Osmo, 30% Kuji, and 40% Juno, because we're really bullish on DAO. So I can, take this portfolio, but of course, as the prices of these assets change, that the portfolio will become imbalanced. And so this Balancer module will take a look at that and expose a rebalance function that uses another one of the abstract modules. This is a service that we provide called the DEX adapter that allows for swapping those assets in your account. So every abstract application is account. So it takes the assets in the account and allows them for swapping to other assets using any exchange. And so this is already quite complex because your front end is going to have to depend on the ETF module, the Balancer module, and the DEX module and interact with all of them. So in the new version of the SDK, all of these clients are automatically generated and bundled into one object that you can access just as if you're accessing an SDK custom developed for that application. But the developers who are building these don't have to build custom SDKs. It's all auto-generated and it makes for a really nice experience. I can see that Howard is in the call now. So we are giving a developer update on the abstract side for the last 6 to 8 weeks. Mention our front-end SDK and as well as a few of the API updates. So if you want to offer some updates on the backend side, specifically related to the interchain logic, I think that would be really cool.
Has he requested speaker or yes. Is he? Okay, beautiful.
Hello, good evening. So on the backend side of things, we've been kind of gearing up for, not kind of, we've been gearing up for a new release of Abstract. And the main concern that we wanted to address with this new release are migrations. So this is going to be the first release where Abstract is going to migrate its infrastructure instead of doing a new deployment. So what this means is that a lot of the state and the APIs, so the way that you interact with the contract, is going to have to remain the same or compatible. And one major issue with Cosmos is that it's really there's really no way to easily verify whether your contract, a new version of your contract, is compatible with whatever other contracts depend on it, or even if your state changed and it became, it changed and you still have some state on chain that didn't change and you try to load it, then it could fail and it could break your contract. So Nicholas, who is our lead on CW Orchestrator, has been working a lot on snapshot testing for smart contracts. So the idea here is that when we instantiate our infrastructure on a mock environment, we take a snapshot of all the states in that environment. And then whenever we're making changes in our code base and we run our tests, then if that state changes, then we get a test failure and it pings us and it says, hey, you made a change that changed some of this state. Are you sure you want to do this? And that helps us catch these kind of breaking states. So that's one part of it. So we now have a bunch of snapshot tests in our code base. So whenever we do a breaking change, we get notified of it. The second piece is the actual logic after you do a migration. So for this, we've been working on something that we call clone testing, where we take the on-chain state of a mainnet or a testnet, and we run a migration on it. But instead of actually migrating it, we take the state, the on-chain state, and we transfer it to our local environment, and then call all the functions locally. So that allows us to do a migration of the actual infrastructure that we will be migrating without having to pay for all the transaction fees or actually doing the migration itself. And then we run a bunch of tests to make sure that everything still works. So that's like the biggest the biggest thing that we've been working on for this release, and then a bunch of like small improvements to the way that like sub accounts work and the maintainability of the code base as well as the documentation. So that's the update.
Yeah, dope. To kind of tack on to that very last point there, a lot of what Adair and Robin were kind of talking about. Now, one thing that I've learned about these two gentlemen is that they are incredibly big-brained and incredibly good at what they do. And the Cosmosm developer community sometimes is maybe migrating over from the EVM side, maybe they've, you know, kind of tinkered around elsewhere, or maybe they're just fans of Rust and are looking to kind of get into it. So to tack on to what Howard was just saying with the tutorials and some of those kinds of things and the documentation, we're also in the pipeline. We've got some easy to follow, quick snippet video tutorials, which you can follow along with. And hopefully some of this stuff that might kind of fly over your head, or some of the nuance that might get lost when we're kind of talking about it just on spaces or something. Some of that becomes a little bit more apparent in video format. So we've got a YouTube channel up. There should be a link to it in a video that I will pin to this spaces. But hopefully soon we are going to be getting, and when I say soon, I mean like in the next 3 weeks, hopefully it's like a nice little Christmas present for some of the Cosmosm developers here. And we'll get a couple of those tutorials start to get posted up. And you know, we've been talking about abstract for quite a while now, but hopefully you guys can kind of dive into it and try it out for yourselves. Very excited about that. Another little thing that I would like to ask you gentlemen about is, you know, what chains are we already deployed on? Where are we looking to go? And then from there, maybe we can springboard into what kind of products would be possible that we're either internally looking to build, if you guys want to leak any of that alpha, or that developers might be excited to build out themselves once they have their hands on these tutorials.
Yeah, definitely. So Abstract, as it stands in the current version, is currently deployed on Juno, on Neutron, Archway, Injective, Say, and Neutron?
And Terra,
yes.
And Osmosis? Did you say Osmosis?
Yes, we recently deployed on Osmosis. We had our upload key, and so all of Abstract will be available there. And 42, who is building some auto compounder products, is deploying on Osmosis as we speak. So that should be very exciting. You'll be able to auto compound all of your positions on Osmosis shortly. So, and in terms of future chains, we are deploying onto Kujira soon, shortly. We recently have gotten the Polytone Interchain smart contract account framework deployed on, or at least governance proposed on Kujira, which is step one to deploying Abstract. And so we should be deployed there in a few weeks. Any other chains I missed? No.
I don't think so.
Very cool. And Sal, you asked about some applications or products that we're looking to build. So I think one of the easiest ones to talk about would be an Interchain savings account. And I know that you're really, really excited about this, like, because it's kind of reminiscent of the Anchor days in, you know, in 2021. And, you know, rest in peace. But like, we are looking to build or allow developer or allow users to have sustainable yield on their USDC using different strategies on the interchain. And of course, these strategies may be relatively low risk, like something on Nolus protocol, which offers like around 10% in stable yield on USDC with additional Nolus incentives. But there's also some other yield opportunities that would be spread across multiple chains. And so this is where the interchain capabilities of Abstract really come into play, is because you can have applications that work over multiple chains, but are still handled within one account. And so an example of this might be having your main account on Osmosis, where you make a lot of your swaps due to the highest liquidity, but you may do borrowing and lending on Kujira, for example. And then you take those coins that you borrowed on Kujira, and then you lease them out on Nolus. And so this is an interchain strategy that's already on three chains that could be provided as a somewhat of a medium risk strategy. And then I think, Sal, you'd be better poised to speak about some of the more medium to high risk strategies for savings accounts in an application like this.
Sure. Yeah. I think when we kind of talk about the savings accounts, like, when we think about Anchor, it was a very simple, easy to approach kind of project where, you just kind of chucked a couple of shekels in and it earns some interest at some rate. And we don't have to talk about the underlying mechanics of UST, but really these kinds of things exist right now and you can use them at any time. Like Nolus has their incredible earn program where you can kind of do that with USDC right now. And USDC does mitigate a lot of those risks. Now, when we talk about those medium to high risk strategies, the medium to high risk strategies kind of, we talked a little bit earlier, or Adair did rather, about the auto balancer, and we talked a little bit about ETFs. So imagine you as a user able to go in, pop in an ETF, and then take your two favorite shit coins, or maybe something that you're bullish on. Maybe they're not shit coins. Maybe they're actually like incredibly, incredibly good, savvy investments, and you're just early. And that's totally cool too. You grab a couple of these pairs and you toss them in some, random allocation. Or maybe it's not random. Maybe you want it to be, 35% a specific pair of like Atom Osmo, and then 15% on something that's a little bit more higher risk with a little bit more volatility, but you feel like it's going to go up. And then you're really bullish on Celestia Neutron, and you want to add those guys into there as well. You can add those in whatever amounts you want and basically publish this ETF strategy out to people, share it on Twitter, and then be like, hey, listen, this thing's been kind of a banger for me. Why don't you guys all get in on it? And it's a nice little way to not just share really clever DeFi strategies that, in previous cycles, we've seen people have to kind of share them through video tutorials on YouTube and sharing them and talking about them on like Telegram groups or whatever. But now you can just kind of share a quick link. You get into it. People can just throw in $10, $20, $1,000, $100,000, whatever they're looking to do. They can kind of invest it in. And yes, by default, it's kind of like a pump my bags type of feature, but not exactly, because really what you're doing is you're sharing out the strategy and everybody gets the kind of win off of it. So you're sharing IP in a really, really nice, almost Web 2-esque manner, but without needing to go through all of the lift of showing people how to actually loop their funds or anything. You can kind of do it all for them and onboard your friends or share it with your crypto native friends, whatever else you're looking to do.
Yeah, well, thanks for elaborating on this. I think what I'm most excited about is to have crypto YouTubers put their money where their mouth is. All of them talk about like my Cosmos portfolio or my, fancy shitcoin portfolio. This is what it's done. Come look at the progress. But all you ever get are screenshots and maybe some like, screen shares every now and then. But how do you know that they're really, they're really dedicated to this? Or like, in a more positive approach, like, maybe you are a YouTuber who's very serious about creating a portfolio. You definitely want to be able to share that with with your audiences and with your users, and with a portfolio, not a portfolio manager, but a portfolio creator like this, this would absolutely be possible. And you'd be able to apply these strategies into any of your assets sitting idle at the moment.
Yeah, that's probably one of those things that I'm most excited about. And frankly, like, you know, it's totally fine to be on that side where it's like, hey guys, like, we all know that a lot of influencers are using Inspect Element and having a great old time doing that. But you're right, if it's verifiable on chain and if people are able to share it with one click and kind of have that very Robin Hood-esque experience as we kind of think about it, that would be really nice. Now, one thing that I think might have gotten lost in the shuffle during some of the front-end updates is, you know, we've got a pretty cool idea around accessibility and discoverability of apps. This is something that we, you know, you guys are devs, you guys absolutely understand the pain of, you know, reaching an audience with a really new and cool product that you're very excited about. And, you know, you deploy it understanding that, you know, there, it might be buggy, but you'd like to get some feedback on it. But the discoverability of that is insane. And the marketing lift is usually also equally insane. Abstract has kind of figured out something to do with, you know, their app store and the way that they want to distribute apps. Adair, do you want to kind of dive into that a little bit?
Sure. So I suppose I should start with a little bit of background. So Abstract, at its inception, was and is a developer tooling company. Our goal was to align the incentives between different developer teams to allow them to collaborate by building applications more modularly, like building them like little Lego blocks that you put together and to build better and better applications. And the incentives are aligned because these modules can be monetized by the teams that produce them. And so say that I produce, like, you know, this ETF module, like I could say, yes, of course you can build on top of my ETF module. I will maintain it. And if you pay me, you know, 20 USDC a month, and you can absolutely do that on our platform. And one of the issues that, you know, Sal mentioned is like the discoverability of these components and of the applications that developers make with these modules. And so that's where the application platform of Abstract kind of comes in. You can probably see in our Twitter handle, we're the Interchain App Platform. And we positioned ourselves in this way so that developers would have an easy place to discover application components that they can use to build applications. And then the users would be able to discover these applications in a unified place. One of the, you know, in Web 2, there's all of these game aggregators sites, and I suppose Facebook would even be an example of an application platform where they provided a platform where you can find a bunch of little mini games that you could play and you could share with your friends. And one of the biggest benefits to this is you can, as a user, you can provide feedback directly to the developers on the platform for these applications, and it feels like you can build a community of the people who are also using those applications. And so this application platform, what it kind of manifests itself as, is an app store. And so in this app store, there's going to be a few different, you know, kinds of apps. So one, you as a user will be able to access the apps that you know and love, like Osmosis or, you know, any of the Kujira offerings or anything across the Interchain. And then secondly, you'll be able to access abstract applications. And so the difference between an abstract application and a traditional one is that abstract applications are fully sovereign and they're fully owned and controllable by you. When you install an abstract app, you're actually instantiating the contracts for that application on your own account, and you have full configurability of that application. One of those examples would be the portfolio. You can essentially host this portfolio on one of your accounts, on a sub account of yours, isolating it from the rest of your account. And you can share this with other people on the app platform. And did you have any other elaborations on this, Sal, you were looking for?
Yeah, I mean, the ability for the app store to kind of, I mean, it's a little bit further down the line, but maybe not as far as we think, where it can live in agnostic environment. So depending on what kind of phone you have, doesn't really matter. PWA it, iframes, the ability to be able to like really leverage WASM in a powerful way, which isn't really feasible anywhere else. I'd like to kind of dive into that a little bit too.
Okay. So you're talking about the farther future. So like right now we have like this application platform. Well, we're working on it. We are going to ship it soon. An application platform where you can discover and find applications. But right now this lives directly in your browser. In the future, maybe in 6 months to a year, we'd really like it to be something, as Sal mentions, you can download directly on your phone, access these applications anywhere using your mobile wallet, using the abstract wallet, perhaps, or use it as a desktop application. This is where I would love Web3 technology to go, is where all of the applications that you use are fully self-hostable on your own machines. You download this desktop application, and when you go install the Osmosis app, you download the front end for that with a verifiable checksum so that you know that you're running an audited front end, and you can self-host that front end there. And then you won't be subject to the laws of the hosted application. Like, I know a lot of US citizens are left out in the dark. But something like this would allow you to run these fully on your own accord, to your own jurisdictions, or like you have to abide by your own laws, of course, but you'd be able to host these on your own machines. And the WASM component that Sal mentioned is also really exciting, because one of the benefits of WASM is that you can take these little containers, these little WASM containers, and you can prove the way that they were executed correctly. And so when I run a smart contract, I can actually run that smart contract outside of a blockchain. I can run that smart contract independently, do an execution, like maybe update some state there or whatever, and I can make a proof of that and then post it to the chain. And this is kind of a very Eli 5 way of how rollups actually work. But I would like to see this more in the future. But of course, coming soon, not something that we're shipping anytime in the immediate future, but would be really fun and cool to see.
Yeah, I know. I kind of threw you on the spot with that future roadmap update. But I think it's important to talk about, because as we kind of talk about the kind of user applications that we're looking at, and you know, we've been talking a little bit about how over the last, call it a year, maybe there's some people who were talking about it about a year ago, but the importance of users and applications built for users, and we've also all kind of within this industry, at whatever point you kind of entered it, have been talking about the future of finance, or the future of France, as we like to kind of colloquially call it. There's a lot of business application infrastructure that's kind of required. So, you know, this kind of springboards off of the whole savings app. A lot of people might want to use that within the context of their own business. And these kinds of self-hosted applications and being able to have these kinds of capabilities for new Web3 or crypto startups that are kind of going to be emerging or have already emerged in the next year or 2 years. What kind of things do we do currently and that every other startup does currently that they are basically forced to rely on Web2 technology for? Would you like to see come out in the Web3 space? And additionally to that, the importance of self-hosting, why is that so crucial for these companies?
Yeah, there's a decent amount to unpack there, but I'll start at the very beginning, which is you mentioned some of the things that, you know, businesses or users have to do when they're using these DeFi applications. And I would say that one of those is going to be producing valid invoices or valid tax return documents for those. And I think this is where one of the biggest benefits of blockchain actually lies is being able to have a verifiable ledger. That's like the whole point, right? But you can use this verifiable ledger to produce tax documents and compliance documents to show like all of the operations that you've done. And so as a user, this is, you know, this is relatively important. And there are services like Coinly that'll allow you to do this, that, you know, you can introspect your address. But for businesses, businesses don't necessarily want to, you know, show to the world or show to like this, you know, sketchy Web3 company exactly what all their transactions are and where all their accounts stand. And so with self-hosted software, you'd be able to create all these tax documents using private addresses and be able to generate them yourself. And I think this is really, really important as more businesses end up going on chain and doing a lot more of their like operations on chain. One of those fields that I see this happening first is in e-commerce. And of course, this has been talked about like time and time again, you know, as the bull markets come and go. But in this market, I see this really coming to fruition as there's more clarity on the usage of stablecoins for real Web2 businesses. And the reason for this is because you can have like an on-chain marketplace and you can have users purchase items on that marketplace without even knowing that they're using crypto, because they can just use their credit card and have it immediately on-ramp in the background. And they're still paying those like 1% to 2% fees, but they don't have to know that they're paying the fees. That's just priced into those products. Yeah, into the products directly. Because right now, merchants in the normal Web2 world pay 1% to 2% fees on all of their Visa transactions. And what's the difference between doing that and paying 1% to 2% fees to an on-ramp provider like Kado Finance or Kado, for example? And as more of these operations are moved on chain, there needs to be a lot more document generation, software being made for this, and dashboards for businesses using the software. And so I think that's going to be a really powerful aspect of self-hosted applications, because I don't know if you remember, like 5 years ago, it wasn't QuickBooks Online. It was actually a QuickBooks desktop application that you could run. So it's kind of one and the same, where you have like a crypto desktop application that you run, you do all your tax reporting and your document generation there, using this on-chain activity as the backend database. There's really no difference.
Yeah, just it's so funny how like the more we move forward and moved everything into the cloud and everything online, the more we're starting to realize that it's really important to have things hosted locally. I'm laughing, thinking about like my old corporate, you know, buttoned up, suited up career. And that's literally what ended up happening, where if there's ever any outage, you're basically boned. So yeah, this is great stuff. I kind of want to get a little bit more into, you know, when we kind of take the whole, what it is that we've kind of gotten done in the last 8 weeks, we've kind of touched a little bit on what is coming in the much further future. What's the when can people really start kind of playing around with this, and not just developers, but also users? When can they kind of get their hands on this? What's coming in the next 3 months? I know I kind of talked a little bit about the video tutorials, so we're hoping that some devs get pretty excited about that and want to start building out their own applications. But what will the distribution look like for them?
The distribution?
So when after we deploy these video tutorials over the next, you know, month and a half or so, and devs kind of get their hands on it, I've seen the way that our team works with the stuff that we've given to them, and everyone gets super excited about it once they kind of figure it out. These video tutorials are going to allow that for every single other developer who's either listening or is curious about Cosmos and development. Let's say that some of these guys are, you know, working 100, 120 hours a week with their teams, maybe smaller teams since they won't need to be quite as large. What will their path be to distribution to get their products in the hands of users?
Yeah. So it first starts out with an idea. Then they figure out the architecture of that idea, build out some basic modules. They can come directly on the Abstract Developer Console, which is live now at console.abstract.money. And they can register these modules to the registry on chain. They can set their monetization for those modules to allow other developers to use them, or they don't necessarily have to. And once those modules are there and ready, they can start kind of condensing information or collecting information to list their application. And so an abstract application is comprised of multiple modules that are installed on an account. And so what they would do is they would go to the registration form, they would put the modules that are used in this application, like the balancer one would be the ETF module, balancer module, and the DEX module, and provide the configuration options for the users, and then list it on the actual app store. And so this app store, I think what you were getting to is like, when is this app store going to be ready? I would say 2 to 3 months from now, we're going to have a fully fledged user dashboard for installing and managing applications as a user. And so to step back a little, I talk about users and I talk about like applications. What are these applications going to look like? So I think we first have to talk about abstract accounts and why they're important. So as a user, you want to use an application. And so you go, say, to Osmosis, you have to find Kepler Wallet, and you create your Kepler Wallet, and then you go to use Osmosis, right? Oh, no, you have to have some gas. So you get some gas, and then, oh, to use Osmosis, I need tokens. So I get some tokens. Let's say it's Atom. I can swap that for Juno on Osmosis, and now I'm fine and dandy. And I'm like, oh, wait, this Kujira thing is also really cool. And so they go over to Kujira, and they're like, oh, okay, so I have to get gas for Kujira too. So then they're stuck. They have to do the same process again. They have to get gas, and then they have to IBC their assets over from Osmosis to Kujira. It's a huge pain. So an abstract account is your one account for the interchain. And so as a user, when you come to abstract, you're going to be able to sign up, and you create an abstract account. You choose your home chain. Say that you really like Osmosis, so I'll create an Osmosis. It's a completely gasless experience. I've got my account on Osmosis, and I want to use Kujira. What happens in the background is that this abstract account is, well, as a developer, it's actually a smart contract on-chain, and so it's a smart account. But the user doesn't have to know this. They use it as they would any EOA or otherwise. They just use it through the abstract dashboard. And so they have their account on Osmosis, and they go to use Kujira. In the background, what happens is the account on Osmosis, it reaches out to Kujira and creates a new account on Kujira. And when they do operations, say that they want to swap an asset for USK, behind the scenes, it will take that asset that's on Osmosis, IBC it over, and swap it for USK on Kujira. Or if they want to deposit on Nolis, again, it all happens behind the scenes. They don't know it. They just go to Nolis, and an interchain abstract account is created on Nolis, and they can go ahead and use it directly right there. And so what about applications? So the applications, it depends on what chain they're installed on. So I mentioned for Balancer, you have to register these modules, and you register the options for configuration on the user's side. You also can mention what chains that application should be available on. And so as a user, I can go ahead and create a portfolio on Osmosis or Kujira or any other DeFi chain like Terra or Neutron. And everything happens in the background though. And the user only interacts with their abstract account as they would any other Web2 application without knowing that they are interacting with the interchain or doing any of these complex interactions. It's really beautiful. and hopefully, as we are working with some partners to enable this, you will have passkey login, and you will be able to just do this with one touch. You create your abstract account with a passkey with one touch, and you sign transactions with passkey with one touch. And it's like going to be the smoothest interchain experience ever. So we hope. 2 months.
Holy crap. Okay. Yeah. See, like, oh my gosh. Yeah. When that was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful explanation. We're about 15 minutes out. So before I go and continue complimenting Adair's excellent explanation of the user experience there, if anyone wants to request to ask any questions, now's the time, feel free. But yeah, I kind of want to pound on that user experience piece a little bit. Like, I think over the last year, you know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, what people have been saying and the kind of user applications and all of that. And I think a large part of that conversation always kind of came around with people saying, oh, you know, the UX in Cosmos and Cosmos, it's not great. And what you just said over the last 5 minutes is like, it literally describes the best user experience that can or probably will exist in crypto for a very, very long period of time, and that's ever existed. So, excellent explanation once again. Cannot thank you enough for that. But in terms of, I kind of want to pivot here a little bit while we wait for anyone else to kind of request if they want to ask any questions around that user experience, because I would assume someone has something to ask, or unless they're just blown away right now. You know, we kind of talk a little bit in crypto as well about, you know, new technologies, new things that are coming out. Everyone's popping out a new L2 with a new, you know, some new bells and whistles or whatever. And there's always kind of, I feel like there's a fear of having their current tech stack be viewed as being ossified. And within what we're doing with Abstract, it sounds like that user experience, as well as the tech stack that's being used, feels kind of future-proof. Is there some way that, like, in the event that updates or upgrades need to happen, can that be run by, like, other users? Or, you know, would the Abstract team have to be kind of maintaining and managing all of that themselves? And welcome to the speaker panel, Mike. We'll get to you in 2 seconds, sir.
Yes, welcome, Mike. So you mentioned upgradability, and I think that's one of the most important discussions that we should have is, like, right now, when there's an update to Discord, or if there's an update to an application on your phone, it just gets automatically pulled down and you can't really do anything about it. You have to deal with the update. When you are using Abstract applications for your accounts, you're in absolute full control over these updates. So if there's a new update to the Balancer app, you can choose whether to pull it into your app or not, and or into your own infrastructure. And we may expose an auto update feature, something like is available on Urbit right now, which upgrades your Urbit infrastructure for you. And I think that's just about it. Like, you can tell your account, hey, upgrade this application, and it'll reach out to the module registry that's on chain. It'll pull in the new updates for that application, maybe doing a bug fix or maybe adding additional features. And it'll happen all on chain with full auditability. And if there's any problems with that update detected by the dependency resolution system that we also have baked into our applications, then that it'll automatically be rolled back and you can let the developers know. So, yeah.
Dope. Sounds excellent. Mike, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, good to be here, y'all. Very cool stuff that I'm hearing on here. I heard Adair mention, like, passkey, and I feel like I got married recently, and I've been kind of giving my wife some time that, like, was taken away during some crazy building. So I've been a little bit out of the loop. And so I was wondering, hopefully this isn't, like, too much of a segue, but, like, I was really curious about what passkey means and if I'm aware of it. I know that, like, web auth n is something that people are kind of, like, using now. Is it, like, at all related to that?
Yes, it's very much related to that. And so what passkey is, it's a Okay, I'm not going to try to define it. I'm going to give an example of it because I don't want to botch the definition of it. But most modern computers and phones have something on them called the Trusted Platform Module or something, TPM. And this essentially stores, for Web3 natives, you can think of this, it stores a seed phrase. And the seed phrase, it can be used to sign transactions on behalf of you and be guaranteed that it's coming from that device and from you as a user. And so what I mean by enabling passkeys is that instead of having a wallet that you're signing with, well, you do have a wallet. It's just it's kind of hidden from you as a user. So you go on the application and you can sign in by using Touch ID. And this Touch ID authenticates with your trusted or your TPM module on your computer or your phone. And it offers an authentication mechanism for your on-chain infrastructure, for your on-chain accounts. You may have noticed a Google update where they allowed you to add a passkey. And this passkey, I think for Mac users, it's the Touch ID. For Windows users, I think they allow you to use FIDO keys, like the YubiKeys in your computer. But you can use these keys to sign transactions. And then, of course, the one of the questions that's going to come up is who pays for the gas? And the platform or the applications would be paying for the gas on behalf of the users. And to be honest, I don't think this is too much of an issue because, I think this is a very good thing for Web3 user experience, is not having to worry about the gas at all. As you know, gas fees are cheap on Cosmos chains, as well as the more modern execution environments available to us nowadays.
That's super cool. Another thing I haven't gotten super deep on this, but it's been really interesting to look at where progressive web apps are. And, you know, if you're kind of like me, I hear that term every 3 years and I always forget what it is. That's basically you can actually build a mobile app that you don't download from the app store. It's sort of hey, this is just a web page, but now we're able to access GPS. And now we're able to write a little bit of storage. And I'm pretty sure WebAuthN, that whole pathway, is available to progressive web apps, which is really kind of cool to mention, I guess, just because this isn't maybe a massive problem yet, but it does seem like we're all hoping that, you know, iTunes and the Google Play Store don't remove wallets. So PWAs could be really cool to use this new WebAuthN kind of thing with.
Yeah, absolutely. I generally think of PWAs they're just websites that you kind of, I think they're just websites that you access on your phone, kind of similar to the Discord desktop application. It is a PWA. I think it uses Electron or something. It's a browser behind the scenes. And yeah, as you mentioned, it can access some of the capabilities on the devices that they're installed on, which is really the nice innovation there.
That's cool. I also want to mention something that I've kind of just been looking at. This is more maybe of a comment, but very much on the what Abstract has been doing for a long time, which is, it seems like we're seeing a convergence of smart contract accounts across different ecosystems. And in some ways, I think I used to see this as a race of different ecosystems are going to beat someone to the punch. But I right now, I'm just really stoked that everything that Abstract has been talking about wanting to do for accounts is really being talked about in Ethereum in a big way. I think it was this week, Pedro Gomez, who's from Wallet Connect, had a nice tweet thread that was talking about how EIP 5300, I believe, which is proposed by a few people, including Dan Finley, creator of MetaMask. They're talking about basically okay, now this is a proposal that if this goes forward in Ethereum, you will be able to have a private key to your EOA that can get graduated into a smart account where you can rotate keys, have all this sort of granularity and stuff. So anyway, I'm not sure. It's really hard to pay attention to all the different things going on, different ecosystems. But we are converging on like what Abstract has been talking about for a long time. It's really cool, kind of in recent weeks and even days, to like see huge communities doubling down on that.
Yeah, definitely. And this is how Web3 gains mass adoption, is through not knowing that it's Web3 behind the scenes. So I'm really excited for this as well.
Dope. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mike. Yeah, I think you touched on a lot of things that we also kind of talked about earlier on in the spaces. And if you get a chance, give it a re-listen. I think the maybe from like 15 minutes on is going to pique your interest a little bit. Yeah, we're kind of coming on close to the end of the hour. Mike, thanks again for the questions. And Howard, thank you so much for the developer update on the backend stuff going on with Abstract. Adair, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again for always showing up here at 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. UTC. Or I think it's 7 p.m. My timing might be off. But yeah, thank you so much again for showing up and talking a lot about this stuff, about what Abstract is doing, about where you see the future of applications going. Very much appreciated. We encourage all of you guys. I tagged a little tweet from the Abstract account up to the spaces, which has a link to a YouTube video where Adair kind of talks about CW Orchestrator a little bit. If that piques your interest, please take a look. More tutorials about how to use Abstract, how to get involved, how to start developing on Abstract are coming soon, within the next 6 weeks or so. And those might be slowly trickling out soon. So hopefully we'll see you guys there, and hopefully you guys start building on Abstract. Thank you so much for showing up. We'll be here again next week. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you so much for hosting, Sal. It's always a pleasure. You're amazing.
Much appreciated, brother. Thank you for the compliments. I live off of them.
All right. Well, see you all next week. Cheers.
All right. Take it easy, guys. Bye-bye. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Sure.
Spaces.